By way of introduction, I'd like to read the verses that we read last week. I won't comment on them, but turn with me to James chapter 3, please. James, the third chapter in the Word of God, just to remind you of the influence of the tongue. We often think, well, our words aren't that important, but really they are. It's not true, as children say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words do hurt, and communication is a gift from God. And by the way, it is God. God's the originator of language. God is the originator of language. He's the originator of music. He is the originator of communication. The members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, communed with each other, communicated with amongst the triune Godhead in eternity past, and will do so in eternity future. Matter of fact, you remember when they said, "Let us make man in our image." There you have the Father and the Son and the Spirit talking amongst themselves and saying, "Let us make man in our image." And so there was communication in the Trinity, and God made man in his own image. God gave us an ability to communicate complex thoughts. Unlike the animal realm, God gave us the ability to commune with God. And communication is very, very important in any relationship, and especially in marriage. Notice with me James chapter 3, and we'll read beginning with verse number 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And again, that means that a preacher or a teacher is going to be evaluated on a much more strict basis than somebody who does not teach or preach. And so it's an awesome thing to teach others. What we say with our tongue, we will answer for. Notice verse 2. "For in many things we offend all." In other words, all of us offend in many ways. "But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man," or a mature man, "and able also to bridle the whole body." Verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships," the big ocean liners today, or the ships in the days of the Bible, "which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm," or a little rudder, "whithersoever the governor listeth," or wherever the captain of the ship wants it to go. He just turns the helm and the boat turns. Notice verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Here God tells us something about the tongue. You tell me what he teaches us here. He teaches us several things about the tongue, several truths about it. You give me these lessons that you saw today or remember from your study of this in the past. What did you learn here about the tongue? Well, we all have one. We know that. Maurice. That's right. Okay, good. It's a powerful instrument that can be used either for good or evil. It can be used one way or the other. It's amazing how the one instrument could be used one way or the other, but that's true. Gladys. Right. Right. That's true. That's very true. That if a person is insecure, and you say the wrong words to that person, you could destroy them. You know? I mean, if they're built up in the Scripture and they know the Word of God, they can handle some harsh statements or, you know, unkind words. They can handle it. But if they're immature or weak or unsaved, I think our words could really have a great damage. Very true. That's why Jesus warns us about offending little ones who believe in Him, not necessarily referring to little children, but new believers. You offend a new believer by what you say, and so that's a good point. If they're insecure, your words could really affect them. Anyone else? Something you see out of this passage, James 3. Remember last week we saw how the tongue is so little, but it's very influential. It's very small in comparison to the whole body, but with this one little member of our body, we can defile the whole body. With this one little member, we can this one little thing, like a rudder on a boat, which turns the big boat, and like a bit in the horse's mouth that can move that big multi-hundred-pound animal around. The tongue is also a small member, but yet it's very influential in what it can do. Anedia. Well, you know, that's right. The temptation of Adam and Eve was a temptation by the words of Satan. And there you can see how Satan, by his deceitful words, caused Eve to yield to the temptation, and then Adam, and then the whole human race was plunged into sin because of those words. And so, yes, our words can definitely lead astray. Anyone else? Zoila. Right. We can tame animals. We can tame bears, lions, so that they put their heads in the mouths of lions at the circus. You can train monkeys to jump around and to do whatever you want them to do. You can train snakes. They train cobras and other things like that to do what they want them to do. But he says the tongue can no man tame. No man can tame the tongue. You can tame animals, but you can't tame that. It says no man can tame it, right? But I'm glad God can. I'm glad that I can say today that God can control our tongue and can clean up our tongue and change our speech. No man can do it. We don't have the ability to change our speech, but I'm glad that God has the ability, because I guarantee there are people here who, before you were saved, you had a foul mouth, right? I guarantee it. But that's one of the first things, if not the first thing, that God cleans up in a person's life once they get saved. He cleans up their mouth. And very true. No man can tame it, but God can. God can tame it. Anyone else? Raul. And there you go. And so all it takes is a little wrong word that can do a great damage, right? That's why the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. You know, a precious word is beautiful, but a word that is actually... even a small word, all it takes is a spark to start a fire, and the tongue can actually do that. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell, he says here. And so that's very true. Anyone else see anything here? Anyone else? Very true. If you can control your tongue... That's the place we slip up first, the tongue. And so if you have an ability to control what you say with your lips, then that shows that you also have the ability to control what you do with your body. You can control your other desires of the flesh if you can control what you say with your lips. Because the tongue is the first thing to evidence lack of self-control. Your tongue, what you say with your lips, will be the first area to show that you lack self-control and discipline in your life. And so, very true. All it takes is some wrong words, and we could do great damage. But all it takes is a few kind words, and I'll tell you, we can do great things for God. Well, Let me today give you this lesson on communication. And again, it'll apply to you whether you're married or not, because all of us communicate. You communicate on the job. You communicate to friends and other family. You can communicate with your in-laws, and you communicate with all kinds of people throughout the day. And so these lessons apply to everybody. I realize on my outline today I have a picture of a man and a woman on the top there, communication and marriage. But this applies to you, no matter what your status is, these principles here. Well, notice, first of all, just to review the importance of communication, Roman numeral 1. Why should I communicate with my spouse, or why should I communicate at all? Why is communication important? Notice my three reasons why it's important. First of all, without it, relationships go undeveloped. In other words, if you don't communicate, you'll remain strangers forever. How many of you have real close friends? Raise your hand. Almost everybody, right? I'm sure you do. Now, those you are closest to, I guarantee you talk to them more than you do just about anybody else. Am I right? Those that you are closest to are those that you communicate with. You cannot have a close relationship with somebody if you never talk to them. Your relationship will not grow. It will not become more intimate or more close unless you talk. And communication is very important, because if we don't communicate, our relationships go undeveloped. And there's, as I said last week, many marriages where they've been married for 50, 60 years and they don't know each other. You know, husband and wife, and they don't even know each other. Why? Because there's been a problem in communication for all those years. And so it's very important to communicate for relationship's sake. And by the way, if you don't communicate with God, your relationship with Him is going to be hurting. If you don't commune with Him, that is, if you don't pray to Him, and if you don't let Him commune with you by reading the Scripture, then your relationship to God is going to remain distant. You want to get close to God, commune with God. You want to get close to your mate, commune with your mate. You want to get close to anybody, you got to talk. Otherwise, relationships go undeveloped. Notice letter B. Without communications, feelings and desires go unshared. Feelings and desires go unshared when you don't communicate. Your innermost desires are only known, we don't read each other's minds. Okay? We're not mind readers by nature. I know some people think they're mind readers. But the only way we can know their true desires without judging somebody, the only way we can know their true desires and true motives is by talking to them. Otherwise, as I say, you may even open the door for intimate communication outside of marriage unless you are able to talk to your wife or to your husband. So it's very important to talk. Everybody needs to talk. And if a wife will not let her husband talk to her, then that husband may find a secretary or somebody to talk to. Now, I'm not justifying it. I'm saying that's a fact of life. That happens. Because there's not communication in the home, he'll go find somebody else to talk to, chances are. Or if he won't talk to her, and she's out in the workplace, she'll find other people to talk to, and so many relationships that are sinful and wicked and wrong have begun because of a lack of communication in the home. So you open the door to temptation if you're not talking to your wife or to your husband. Or if you're not talking in a right way, you know, to your wife or your husband. You may talk, but if you're not talking in a biblical manner, then they find somebody else who talks decently to them, they'll listen to them. And a lot of times illicit relationships begin because of a lack of communications in the home. Notice letter C. Without communications, problems go unsolved. If we don't communicate, we don't solve problems. They don't disappear. Problems do not just solve themselves. They need to be resolved by communicating. The silent treatment is not a way to deal with problems. It is not God's way. God's way to deal with problems is by talking it out, communicating. Not yelling, but communicating, listening, and talking. You multiply your problems by not dealing with them biblically. That's why God says in Matthew 18 that if your brother has a fault with you, then you're to go with him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You see, God's method for resolving conflicts is talking. He says, you go tell him. You tell him the problem between you and him alone, which means you don't blab the problem out to everybody. You go personally. A personal confrontation. And so problems go unresolved if we don't talk about them. And so I think it's very important to communicate. Now let's get to the part of the lesson that I've been waiting to get to, the method of communication. How should we talk? How should we communicate? How do I talk to my spouse? Well, if you notice on your next page, communication is two-way, isn't it? It is us talking to our spouse and us listening to our spouse. Communication is not just talking. That's not communication, is it? If you talk to your husband but he's not listening, have you communicated? You haven't. You talked. He may have heard sounds, but he didn't get what you said and you didn't communicate. If your husband talks to you and he's speaking but you're not listening, you don't have communication there. Communication must be both ways. It must be talking and listening. If there's a breakdown in any one of those, then you don't have communication. So notice on your sheet, the method of communication is, letter A, careful listening. Careful listening. How many ears did God give us? Two. How many mouths did God give us? One. That ought to tell us something right there, right? That ought to tell us the importance of listening. The importance of holding our lips shut and listening a little bit more. Do you know the Bible says that if there's a man who's a very ignorant, foolish man, it says in the book of Proverbs, you can be in the midst of diplomats and big, high-ranking people, and they're all talking and spilling out their mind and letting their peace be known. But if you have a guy there who's silent, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that that guy's going to be considered as wise, even because he didn't say anything, you know? I've heard the saying, and I'm sure you have too, that it's better to remain silent. It's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. You know, God teaches us that let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James chapter 1. And so God says, if you're going to be quick at anything, don't be quick with the tongue, be quick with the ear. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so how we need God's grace in this area, to listen, to be quick to hear. I want you to turn to Proverbs 18, Proverbs chapter 18, for a very important principle on communication. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, he talks about how we should communicate, and here's a good verse on listening. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. This is what a lot of people tend to do, which leads me to my first point under careful listening. Listen, when you listen, listen without interrupting. When you're listening to somebody talk, don't interrupt. Hear them out. Listen to what they have to say. We're very quick to jump in and express our opinion before we've heard them out. Notice what he says, Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. That's a good verse, isn't it? He who answers a matter before he's done hearing the person out, he says, you are a fool. It is a folly and a shame unto him. Our listening must involve listening without interrupting, but hearing the person out. I think that involves three things, listening without interruption. First of all, it means don't change the subject. Now, I know as you get up there in years, and we don't have very many senior saints in here today, but as you get up there in years, I know how it is. My grandfather tells me all the time. I'm talking to him, and all out of the blue, he'll have a thought. And he's so worried that he's going to forget the thought that he'll interrupt and interject what he just thought of while you were talking. And the thought has nothing to do with what you were just saying. You know, but he's worried that if he doesn't get it out, later on he'll forget about it. Do you people have that problem? Some of you young people even do, I'm sure. We're very quick to interrupt. by interjecting something that changes the subject. We've got to listen. And I think that's one way to avoid problems. When there's a problem in the home and you're trying to talk it out, one way to skirt the issue is to change the subject. Right? But that's not biblical and that's not right. Nestor. That's for sure. There are, of course, with long-winded people, you got to say, well, excuse me, can I interject the thought? Can I have two words fit them in edgewise? I need to talk, yes, if you're talking to somebody, and Spanish people tend to be that way, right, Nestor? No, I'm just teasing. we all have that tendency to want to talk and talk and not to listen. But while you're listening to somebody, and a thought comes to your mind, if they're a long-winded individual, say, excuse me, and then talk, and then get them back on their subject if they want to. But yeah, you're right. This is not a hard and fast rule. The point is to listen to somebody, and don't be quick to interject your own thoughts or to change the subject. Terry? Right. Very true. Very true. See, a lot of times the reason why we interrupt people when they're talking is because we're not listening to them. We're not listening. And so may God help us to be good listeners. Nestor. Right. But here's the thing, Nestor. When you're listening to them and you know that they have a misunderstanding, at least hear them out so that you can understand where they're coming from in their misunderstanding. You see, I think it's wise to really listen to the person and hear them out and then address their misunderstanding. You see? Because I think sometimes we're quick to assume that they misunderstand when really they may be getting to the point. And so sometimes we need to listen. And again, that's a problem. There are people who come to church, no doubt, who rather than listening to what is being said, they're thinking about something else, something totally different. And you don't benefit that way. You must come and listen and be open. And it's important to listen. Colleen? That's true. You see, I believe a major reason why there are problems in the home is because there are problems in the communication. Misunderstandings. Why are there misunderstandings? Because there's not careful listening and there's not careful speaking. And we'll talk about careful speaking in just a moment. But we've got to listen. Nestor. Right. That's true. That's why it's so important to think before you speak. very important to think before you speak, because a lot of times we do say things without thinking, and then we're get into trouble. But you see, the Bible says that he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. And so the Lord teaches us that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. God gave us two ears, one mouth, and he wants us to use our ears more than our mouth. He wants us to listen. For good communication, you've got to have good ears. You've got to be listening. Harry. Right. And you don't listen to the person. Right. You don't listen to them, and it's right. It's because of pride. I don't want to hear you out because I already know you're wrong. Very true, brother. Very true. And this is what we do sometimes to interrupt. We not only change the subject, but we may interject a quick solution, a quick and fast solution to the problem without hearing the whole problem. Your wife will usually be the one who comes to you with a problem. I guarantee it. And she'll be talking to you about a problem in your marriage or a problem in the home. And you'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And you interject a very rash, quick decision and solution to the problem before you've heard the whole problem. And so may God help us to hear her whole side of the story before we interject this quick solution, a quick fix, a quick patch-up job. Let's hear the whole problem. You may need more than a little Bondo job. You may need a new front end. You may need a new car. Dosey. Looks at you, right? That's true. Because a lot is communicated by your gestures, right? A lot is communicated by your hands, and the Italians are always waving their hands around, right? And a lot is communicated by your eyes. And so it's very important in communication to look at the person you're talking to, and if they're talking to you, you look at them, right? Because if you're not looking at them, that may show, well, it either shows that you're very shy, which is no excuse. Shyness is just pride. Or it shows that you're not listening to them by not looking at them. And so, yes, it's very important to look the person in the eyeballs when you're talking and really understand what they're saying. A lot is communicated through the eyes. Raul. I see. Now that again is a cultural thing, okay? That is something is that in all of Africa or various parts of Africa? And I'm sure it's true. Hero, would that be true among the Orientals also? Okay. And Cuba? And so a lot of countries, it's a cultural thing where they would believe you're showing disrespect for them by looking at them in the eyes. Personally, though, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that as a biblical thing. I see that as a cultural practice that, you know, and I appreciate the showing respect, but I don't see anything disrespectful about looking at somebody. As a matter of fact, when I'm talking to my daughters, I think it shows disrespect if they don't look at me. I think it shows disrespect if they're looking elsewhere when I'm trying to teach them something. And so, very important. I think biblically we'd be safer to say that biblically look at the person. Yes. Right. Well, yeah, you never know how customs and cultures change, but I think when you're scolding somebody, you should still look them in the face, especially then. Because if you're looking at other things, it shows you're angry. It shows you're angry. And a lot of times when you're out of control of your emotions, you don't look at the person in the face, do you? Because you're not in control of yourself. And so I think biblically you'd be wise to look at an individual when you're communicating to that person. A lot of times, people think you don't like them if you don't look at them. You know, if you don't look at them, they think, well, what's wrong with me? Am I ugly? Did I forget to comb my hair? You know, what's my problem today? Why aren't they looking at me? And so I think you'll offend more people by not looking at them than you would if you don't look at them. Gladys? Right. But to hear them out, yeah. Well, even if you know they're lying, hear them out. You know, hear their story. And I agree with you, Gladys, that a lot of times if you don't look at the person, or if the person won't look at you, sometimes you wonder if they're telling you the truth. Yeah, because generally a person who's lying won't look at you in the face. They will not look at you in the face if they're covering something up or if they're lying. And so I think it's very wise to have that eye-to-eye contact. Thank you for bringing that up, Dosi. But then notice, okay, listen without interruption, which means don't change the subject, don't interject a quick solution. Letter C, don't speak abruptly without thinking first. God wants us to think before we speak. And that's why we should be slow to speak. Because we need to do some thinking. If we don't think, we say words rashly that can hurt an individual. And it's easy to speak without thinking. We've done it all of our lives, but as Christians, we need to learn. Let me think through the Bible. Let me think through the biblical principle concerning this problem, and then I'll speak. We've got to think first. Meditate on the problem. Think about the biblical way of solving the problem, rather than just blurting out an answer. We've got to think before we speak. Any more questions on that? So the Bible says that we need to listen without interrupting. We can't answer before we hear a matter. Notice number two, we need to listen without divided attention. In other words, and along the same lines, but we need to listen to somebody without thinking somewhere else. Okay? Now, they tell me that the average person can speak 120 to 180 words a minute. Now, if you're Spanish, you can double that rate. At least it sounds to me like the Spanish people speak twice as fast. Is that true? I don't think it is. I just think they have more words to say. You know, the Spanish is a colorful language. It's a very descriptive language, from my understanding of it. And so they have a lot of colorful adjectives and a lot of, you know, things to describe what they're saying. So in English, you can say it this big, but in Spanish, you'll say the same thing this big. And so, maybe just sounds like they're speaking more words per minute. But they say that you can speak 120 to 180 words a minute. Some people more, if you're a woman more, if you're a man less. but they say that you can think four or five times that fast. You know, our mind is just quick, sharp. We can think four or five times as fast as we can talk. And so while somebody else is talking, if you're not listening, our mind wanders off to something else. And so we're not giving them our undivided attention. Because we can think faster than they can speak, and so we tend to drift. If you're not careful, your attention is going to wander off. We need to concentrate on what others are saying. Now, I saw a hand somewhere over here. I thought I did. Maybe it was back here. Nestor. Wow, that's interesting. If you want to say it quick, you use English. If you really want to touch their heart, though, you use Spanish. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm sure that is true. But listen without divided attention. Okay. So number one, careful listening is a key to good communication. But secondly, and I think this is very important, not only careful listening, But again, communication is two-way, careful speaking. We need to be careful that we speak the truth in love. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to see now how to speak. We've learned how to listen according to God. Now let's learn how to speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Now he's talking about believers here, believers in the body of Christ, and he teaches us an important principle here. Among believers, we need to be doing this. Verse 15, Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Notice we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, the way we edify one another, the way we build up each other, is if we speak the truth in love. Now, there are three things about that one phrase, speak the truth in love. First of all, in order to speak, in order to communicate verbally, you've got to speak. That's obvious, I know, but it's a point that oftentimes goes overlooked. You've got to speak. That's the method of communication. In other words, don't give the person the silent treatment. Now, so many people try to communicate by being silent. That's communicating only one thing, that you are angry and that you do not want to hear what they have to say and you don't want to talk to them, but that is not good that's not speaking the truth in love. Many people will give an individual the silent treatment and they won't talk to them. And that's totally ungodly and unbiblical. Notice Proverbs 18, verse 2, it says, that a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. He says that a fool, he has no delight in understanding. He does not want to understand what the other person is saying, but he's only interested in his own heart and in what he, his own agenda and his own ideas. He will oftentimes give you the silent treatment, but we can't do that. If you have a problem with your husband, the worst thing you can do is clam up or blow up. I mean, those are the two things that people, the two sinful ways of dealing with a problem. Either clam up, where they don't talk, or blow up, and that only causes more problems. I mean, clamming up does too. But those are sinful, worldly, devilish ways of communicating, but they're not God's ways. God says you need to speak, speaking the truth in love. Now, here's something that's important. A lot of times you'd say, well, they ought to know what I'm thinking. They ought to know what my desire is. And we assume that they are a mind reader. We assume that they should know what I want, what I need, what we desire. But listen, that's not right. We're not omniscient. We don't know the thoughts and the desires and the hearts of other people. The only way I can know your heart is if you speak. I cannot know your heart if you don't speak. We cannot assume that the other person knows what we want if we're not willing to speak about it. God gave us a tongue. He wants us to use it to communicate. And so he says, number one, speak. That's the manner of communication. But secondly, he says, speak the truth. That's the content of our communication. In other words, that which we should communicate has to be the truth. No lies, not falsehood, not exaggerations, but speaking the truth. Now, he says this in this chapter in Ephesians 4, verse 25. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And then he gives a reason why. For we are members one of another. And of course, if you're married, you're one with one another. And so he says, putting away lies, speak every man truth with his neighbor. God wants us to speak the truth, not lies, exaggerations, or falsehood in any way, but always speaking the truth. You know, I have a lot more to say about this, about speaking the truth, and Miss Velez is going to come in just a moment and sing for us. But this week, I want you to go home and I want you to look back over this, okay? And to study this out for yourself. And because I believe that this will improve your life 1,000,000% if you learn how to speak the truth in love. And next week we'll pick up with the truth and we'll talk about the manner of communication, which is speaking it in a manner of love. and what that means. And so next week, that lesson will be very important. So don't miss that. Now, Nestor had a question. Oh, but what I mean, brother, is giving them the cold shoulder where you don't talk to them at all. Yeah. Where you give them the silent treatment and you clam up. Right. No, there are times to be silent or quiet. But I'm saying that even in your being quiet, you're being loving. You see, you're not being quiet to hurt the individual. You see? So your motive is different. And so may God help us to communicate biblically. Amen.